So good to be here this weekend. So good to be here tonight. And, you know, I don't know how many of y'all are here for the first time, but I just want to encourage you. We're just here to open our being to the Lord, to exercise our mingled spirit. Even, you know, I realize a lot of maybe the speaking. How many of you are familiar with a lot of these terms? I hope, whether or not you've heard this before, the speaking on Genesis, the speaking on Revelation, even maybe you've heard something on life and building. We need to hear these words for the first time. God's word is never old. It's always fresh and it's always new. So praise the Lord, we can spend the time in God's word. Even I just appreciated reading these verses in Genesis. How often have we read these verses? I hope for many of us, as believers, we've read these verses over and over. I hope our reading of the Bible is not a once in a lifetime event. I've read through the whole Bible. I put it on the shelf. I've memorized so many verses. I can set it aside. But brothers and sisters, we're here this weekend to be revitalized. The Bible would become a new book because we're going to see a vision of what the Bible is speaking about. I realize in my own experience the reason why maybe my reading of the Bible has become routine is because I lack the vision. What is the Bible speaking? So we're here, you know, just all together, right? We're all here as one, opening to the Lord again, receiving the Lord's Word, even for the first time. So I just appreciate it's so important to have a vision. And it all begins here in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. Maybe we could all, I'll just read it to you. The title of these series of messages, this conference this weekend. So good. The beginning and the end. A bird's eye view of life and building in the Holy Bible. You know, I've just been impressed. It's so good to spend the time in Genesis 1 and 2. Revelation 21 and 22. These you could call the bookends of the whole Bible. You know, if you want to know what the Bible is speaking about, you need to read the beginning and the end. These two chapters, the beginning and the end, actually unveil the full picture of what is on God's heart, what God desires, how He will carry out His heart's intent, and what is the consummation, what is the picture, what does it look like? So I hope we wouldn't belittle Genesis as just some story of creation. Maybe, you know, and if that's the case, you are blessed. Because you're going to receive a new vision. A vision that would vitalize your reading of the Word. When I was in college, many classes, I don't know if you've had this experience, but they give you a stack of books. And they just say, write a critique. Write a report in 2 weeks on all these books. As if you don't have, you know, 12 other units that you're taking. But, you know, I learned a lesson early on. A professor, he told me the best way to read in a quick way is read the beginning and you read the end. You read the intro and you read the conclusion. And if you have time, you can read, you know, the first and last chapter of the book. And then if you have time, you read the first and last paragraph of every chapter in the book. And then if you have time, you go back and read the rest. But if you read the intro and the conclusion, or the first and last chapter, you get the abstract. You get the essence of what the book is speaking. So we're not here just to kind of show you how to read a lot of books, but we want to take this view and apply it to our reading of the Bible. What is presented in Genesis 1 and 2 consummates in Revelation 21 and 22. God's intention is presented right away in Genesis. And actually, the word is here in the outline. It's the blueprint for the building. We're here tonight to see the blueprint. We want to see what is God doing in the universe. So that's why I appreciate these verses. You know, the brothers read 8 and 9, but I just want to back up and read 7, Genesis 2, 7. Jehovah God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This is the beginning. This is the creation of man. The breath of life in man. This is man's spirit. God breathed his breath into man, and man became a living soul with a spirit to receive man. Right? So what's the important of all this? What's the import? Why would God create man in such a way? Well, I just want to just share a little bit about Genesis 1 and 2. And I would hope that tonight you would spend the time as much as you can to read the first two chapters of Genesis 1 and 2. We want to be pickled with this word. You know, over and over again, we want to read this word. You know, so there's some crucial points. I'm just appreciating reading Genesis 1 and 2 a few times these past weeks. And there's something that's impressive. The first thing is our God is a God of life. Right away in Genesis 1, verse 2, the Spirit was brooding over the waters. Brooding to what? Produce life. And you just read Genesis with this picture. God is a God of life. He produces fruit trees. He creates fruit trees, herbs yielding seed, bearing fruit. He has the animals in the seas swarming when he creates the animals on the sixth day. He says, be fruitful and multiply. God is a God of life. He's a living God, so he's a God of life. And this life in Genesis 2:8, right, is available in the form of food. Can you believe it? He creates man and he puts man in the middle of the garden, right in front of the tree of life. What is the purpose of this? The living God wants man to take him as life. Right? This is crucial that we see this. God, right away, this is why the title of this message is the tree of life. God is embodied in the tree as life. The tree of life is actually God himself as life to man in the form of food. This is God's intention that he would be life to man. This is why he created man. The living God wants to be life to man. This is right away in Genesis. And another thing I just want to impress, all these items, we're going to cover a lot of items this week. It's so good. All the items in Genesis 1 and 2, actually, they all appear again in Revelation 21 and 22. But, you know, the Bible begins with the tree of life, and it concludes with the tree of life. It begins with the river of water of life. It concludes with the river of water of life. It begins with materials, precious materials, that are in the river. But in Revelation, these materials are not scattered as they were in Genesis, but they're built together. And it, Genesis chapter 2, it concludes with a building. It concludes with a building. The rib taken out of Adam's side was built into a woman. And actually, it concludes with a marriage. Can you believe it? I saw this word for the first time in Genesis 2, 24 and 25. Actually, it says wife. A man shall be joined to his wife. There's a union, and the two shall be one flesh. It's not just man and woman, right? It's man and wife. There's a oneness there. There's a union there in Revelation 21. There's a flowing river, right? In Revelation 22, too, we read the verses. There's a river and there's a tree. But these materials that are presented are not scattered as they were in Genesis, but they're built together. There's a building. And it consummates in a bride. So all the items here in Genesis 1 and 2 consummate in the building in Revelation 21 and 22. So this, and actually, in between is the procedure, how God carries out his purpose. So Genesis 1 presents God's plan, his intention. The living God wants to be life to man. So he presents himself. Right? Well, first he creates man. In his image and after his likeness. I almost passed that verse up. You can't bypass that verse. Genesis 1:26. God made man in his image and after his likeness. Why would he do such a thing? Why were we made in such a way? Well, you make a glove in the image of the hand to express the hand. That whatever the glove does, when the hand fills it, the glove just expresses the hand. God made man in his own image, so that he could be expressed in man. He could be enlarged in man. He could have a continuation in man. This is why God made man. This is why he made man in such a way. So, oh Lord Jesus! Amen. Genesis 1 presents the picture. Genesis 2, more details concerning how he carries out his plan. And then the consummation in Revelation. This will all be developed. So I just appreciate so much. It's so good to be here in Genesis 1 and 2. So I'm just going to go through the outline and just fellowship these points. So good. Genesis 1 and 2, chapter 1 and 2, and Revelation 21 and 22, the beginning and the end of the Bible, present the central vision of the Bible, the building of a corporate person. How about the brothers read A? Amen. Amen. And I really hope this would be impressed on you, that these items, the tree, the river, the materials, and the bride, the building, these items that are, these four issues, these four things that are presented in Genesis 1 and 2, they are a reflection. The reflection and fulfillment of these four things is in Revelation 21 and 22. I hope in your reading of the Bible in this weekend, you would spend your time just to read over and over. Genesis 1 and 2, Revelation 21 and 22. You know, in these chapters are very unique because they don't mention Satan. They don't mention sin. They don't mention the fall. Actually, all that is taken care of in Genesis 3 to Revelation 20. All you have in these two bookends of the Bible are God's original intention and the masterpiece, right? What it all looks like. So this is what we want to spend our time on. But it's, you know, another thing. You just have to realize. I just appreciate freshly. You know what God's intention is? Travis, you know what it is? He just wants you to be happy. God wants you to be happy. God wants man to be happy. This is why He put man in the Garden of Eden. Eden means pleasure. He put man in a garden that means pleasure, full of fruit trees, even pleasant to the sight and good for food. I don't know how many of you brothers like to go to the gardens. Huntington Library. You know, I've been there a few times and I really appreciate, we all appreciate nature, maybe Zion National Park for the brothers, right? We like to go hiking and the beauty of creation. It's so pleasant. It's so pleasing. Right? How about a garden called pleasure? God puts man in a garden called pleasure. Doesn't this give you a picture of what is on God's heart? God's intention? Just to make man happy? What can make you more happy than God Himself? Well, we'll get to that. Eden, okay. Genesis 1 through 2 is the organic blueprint. The architectural plan of the triune God. And Revelation 21 and 22 is the finished product, the organic masterpiece of the triune God for the full manifestation of His multifarious wisdom. I want to read Ephesians 2, 10 to you. For we are His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand in order that we would walk in them. We are His masterpiece. You have to declare this. We are His masterpiece. But in order to say this, even to believe it, we need to see the organic blueprint. I like this word, organic. You know, there's a craze in this country. Maybe it's in the whole world. I don't know about organic. Well, I'm organic. God is organic. His blueprint is organic. Because it's entirely 100% life. The only thing that's life, actually, is God Himself. The organic blueprint. It's so good to have the blueprint. You don't want to build without the blueprint. But it's also good to see the vision of the masterpiece. Think about it. You know, for example, this building, I remember when I first saw, well, I never saw I did see a blueprint, a schematic of a little bit of this building. I couldn't really make heads or tails of it. I don't know how many of us are trained to really discern blueprints, to really look at blueprints. I can't really make heads or tails of it. But what I did enjoy seeing is the artist's rendering of what the finished product would look like. And when I saw that, I said, that's a nice building. I like that. The finished product. Why do you do that? You want to see the finished product so you know what the building is going to look like. If you just have a blueprint, You could have all kind of funny ideas about how you're going to build and what you should use and maybe what it should look like this. But God, in His wisdom, He unveils the organic blueprint for His building. All the items are in Genesis 1 and 2. Before the fall, God's intention. He had a plan. And in His plan, He just wanted to dispense. He wanted to impart life to man. And this life, the issue of receiving this life, would be something. The building. The rib taken out of Adam's side was built into a woman. Right? There's the building here. But then you have the masterpiece. You have the New Jerusalem showing you what the building looks like. So we want this vision of life and building to govern the way we read the Scriptures. Mainly tonight, we want to focus on life. Focus on life. The organic blueprint, the organic masterpiece. Okay. How about brothers read C? Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. How about sisters on one? It's for building. Amen. Brothers, two. Amen. All together on three. Enlargement of God. To express God in a corporate way. So here we see life and building. We want to see what life is. Life is God Himself. We also want to see what life is not. You know, a lot of times we may be confused. Being Christians as believers who love the Lord, we desire to do many things. But because we lack a vision of life and building, we get distracted from the central point. The crucial matter, which is the tree of life, which is God as life in the form of food. Actually, if you follow this line in Genesis, you see the building in the New Jerusalem is an issue of God imparting or dispensing life into man. You cannot separate. So what is life? What life is not? Life is not good. Life is not good. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is diametrically opposed to the tree of life. These two trees were there. But the Lord said, do not eat of that tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Have you seen this? It's not the tree of the knowledge of evil, of death. It's good and evil. We want to be those who just enjoy life. And we'll see what life is. Life is God. Life is the tree of life as food to man. Okay, and life is the triune God dispensed and wrought into our being. And building is the enlargement of God to express God in a corporate way. So what does this mean? This means that we need to pay our full attention to the tree of life. We want to pay our full attention to this tree. Where is this tree? That's why I appreciated the singing, the exercise. You know, and I just realized, according to my experience, where this tree is today. Do you know where the tree is today? The tree is in your spirit. The tree of life is a person. This person, Christ, actually is the tree of life. You know, the Lord, when He came, In the book of John, John 15, He said, I am the true vine. He said in John 15:1, I am the vine. Right? And then in John 1:4, the Word reveals, in Him was life. In Him was life, and the Lord reveals Himself as life. At least three times in John. He says, I am the life. And this life is not just the human life, the soul life. This life is the Zoe life. We sang the song, right? Zoe. We may throw this word around. Maybe a lot of you don't know what Zoe is. Zoe is the Greek word for life. Eternal, uncreated life of God. So the Lord is the tree of life. And this tree of life is in our spirit. So we need to learn to open our being to eat the tree. And out of the eating of this tree, there flows a river. And in the river is the material. And this material issues in building. So life is for building. And the building comes out of life. Two, God's placing man in front of the tree of life indicates that God wanted man to receive him as man's life by eating him. This is a point that I really appreciated. God is God. He could have done so many different things to present himself to man. But he did it in the form of food. And I was just considering, why food? Well, your experience at eating dinner tonight, looking around, observing everyone eating. Eating is something very enjoyable, something very pleasurable. I don't know how many people think eating is a chore. I love to eat. But another thing about eating takes time. You can't eat in a rushed way. If I'm short on time, I have to skip eating because I can't eat in 2 minutes. It takes me time to eat. I enjoy my food, right? This is eating. And eating, what is eating? Eating is to take something from outside of you and take it into you to the extent that it becomes your inward constitution. Your inward constituent is life. So the fact that God presents himself to man in the form of food is actually a revelation, a vision showing God's intention is that we would take God into our being. And this God, who is life, would become the factor of our living. Even we would become dependent on this one. That's what eating is. It's a dependence. You have to eat, right? We have to keep eating to maintain our life, to maintain our existence. Eating him. The tree of life signifies the triune God embodied in Christ as life to man in the form of food. So good to eat. To keep eating. And where is this tree? Again, it's in our being. So I hope we wouldn't have this concept that I'm here opening to receive. We're here this weekend, tonight, opening to receive something from outside of us into us. Actually, the tree as believers, Christ is in our spirit. Amen. And the tree, this tree of life, this Christ is in our spirit. And he is waiting for us to take him as food. So even, I would hope, we would realize afresh, it's not me opening from without, but opening my being from within. This is why calling on the Lord's name is so precious. Maybe many of you don't have this practice. That's okay. You don't have to know all the ins and outs. It's just good to call the name of the one we love. In your reading of the Bible, to pray the word, not just to memorize it, to take in the word in some kind of rote way that you have lots of verses. But we want the word to be living in us. Even this word, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Something alive dwells. This table doesn't dwell. It's just here. But we dwell because we're living, because we're alive. So we want the word to be living. We want this word to be life to us. So we have to open our being. There are many hindrances to our being. So we have to learn to open. One of the best ways is just to call the Lord and touch him as you read the word. You know, I just want to share a little experience about eating food and about this word, this life becoming our inner constituent, becoming our inner being. You know, I was raised in a Christian home. I got saved at a young age. I loved the Lord. I knew something of the Bible. But right after high school, I realized in retrospect, I stopped reading the Bible. So the enjoyment of God, the enjoyment of coming to gatherings like this, it just wasn't there. And I wondered in my being, why don't I have the same feeling? Why when I'm here, I just don't seem to get that much? You know, and then the Lord touched me. He just, through some speaking, I got recovered back to the Bible. Just to read the Bible. I realized, just through my experience of reading the Bible, of touch opening to the Lord, I would just spend time reading my Bible. Eventually, a lot of the concepts, a lot of the taste that I'd built up for the things of the world, the things that attracted me. Actually, that taste was just taken away through my reading of the Bible, through my taking in the Word. What was I doing? I was touching life because Christ is embodied in the Word. Right? You have to realize the Bible is the written Word. Right? This is the written Word. But the living Lord is in the Word. The living Lord is the Word. And when we come to the Bible that contains the Lord, we can eat life. You can eat food that abides unto eternal life. So I just realized in my experience, just eating the Word, reading the Word, you know, over time, my taste for other things was taken away. Because God's way is the way of life. It's not in the way of outward shaping, of rules and regulations, right? He doesn't just want to snatch that thing that you enjoy and break it and shatter it on the ground. But He wants to feed you with life. You know, eating is a long-term nourishing effect. When you eat the Word, when you spend time eating the tree of life, you'll notice a substantial change, but it won't be instantly. It's over time, but it's permanently. It has a long-term effect. So I just appreciate so much. You know, I am not discouraged when I see brothers and sisters maybe struggling with the Lord. Actually, the unique cure is you need to eat the tree of life. Amen. You need to be recovered back to Genesis 2. Because you cannot know the living Christ without the written Word. You have to have the written Word. This is where the life is. B, nothing is more central and crucial to both God and man than the tree of life. How about we have all together, let's read that together. B, nothing is more central, Lord Jesus. Amen. Central to both God and man than the tree of life. Because this life is how God will gain what He's after. This life, this God Himself who's life, this is how He will gain the New Jerusalem. This is why it's so crucial. Nothing is more crucial than life. Amen. So this is why we have to touch Him every day. This is why first thing in the morning. Well, how about we have sisters read C? Amen. Right. So this is why every day we need to be dependent on Him. Eating the tree makes you dependent. Eating the tree of life makes you dependent on life. This was God's original intention. This is why God placed man in front of the tree of life. Because He wanted man to pick up a taste for life. To be addicted to life. To be dependent on life. This is God's intention with man. The tree of knowledge produces independence. A lot of us want to be independent. But life makes you dependent. So every morning, this is why every morning is a new morning. To say, Lord Jesus, I open to You. Thank You for a new day to eat You. Lord, I live because You live in me. Without touching You, I cannot live. This is the principle of dependence on the tree of life. You know, you may go to the top culinary arts school. Maybe the Culinary Arts Institute of New York. And you may study there under the top chefs, Wolfgang Puck or whoever. And you may get all the basic skills to produce anything and everything in the finest restaurants. And you may graduate, walk away with your degree and say, goodbye, Wolfgang. But you know what you never graduate from? You never graduate from eating. Always dependent on eating. This is a picture. The tree of life is a figure. Showing us God's intention is He always wants to be life to man. I just appreciated even seeing in Revelation, three times in Revelation 22, the tree of life is mentioned. The first time it's in the river. The second time, we have right to eat the tree of life. We have right to eat the tree of life. And the third time we see it's our joy, it's our destiny for eternity to eat the tree of life. This is why it's so crucial for us today to be impressed with this matter. God wants to be life to man. God is food to man. Amen. Why? So we can be dependent on Him. We need to see, we need to be dependent. And if we're not, maybe we're just independent. By nature we are. But I can testify my experiences, I am learning to be dependent on life. I'm learning to eat the tree of life. You know, I went into the post office today. And this is just a little, I just want to share a little bit what life is not. Life is not knowledge. Life is not good. Life is not gifts. Life is not power. A lot of these things are distracting. Many dear believers today, we don't want to be distracted to good. Is that the goal of the Christian life, is just to do good? A lot of unbelievers do good things. They live morally, ethically, maybe a high standard. They give. What do we have? We have life. We have the God who's life to us. He lives in us. He wants to live in us and energize us, not to live according to good. So I was in the post office today, and I had to mail some packages, and the line was a little long, and the lady in front of me at the counter was talking, and I was a little, you know, I wanted to get moving. And in my mind, I was just like, I'm just going to give her the package, I'm going to walk out. But then this word, the tree of life, dependence, was just flowing through me. And I just said, Lord, I just drop everything. I just want to be dependent on You. I just want to learn dependence. And so I was just inwardly just, amen, Lord. You know, I'm at peace. My first intention was, I don't want to keep these people backed up behind me. The good thing to do would be to get out of there. But as I was talking to her, you know, and we were just chatting, and then I just was at peace. And then she just shared about going to Taiwan. And I said, I was in Taiwan. And she said, why? And I said, I went to a Christian conference, actually, if you believe it, in Taipei. And I learned how to say something. Oh, su yesu. Oh, why, ni? And she laughed. And then I said it again. But you know, and I walked away. That's all we had time for. But if I was living a life of good, the best thing to do was, I don't want these people to wait. The good thing would be just to do my business and get out. But the Lord was just prompting me to speak. Amen. Don't disregard this prompting within. Amen. You know, you may be in a situation, lots of situations, where, you know, you may be somewhere where maybe you shouldn't be. Maybe it's not wrong, but the life in you, the tree of life in you, who wants you to learn dependence, is not happy. So you have a little bit of unrest. Is preaching the gospel wrong? No one would ever say that's wrong. But you know, there's a point in 2 Corinthians where Paul, he had a door open for the gospel, wide, and he had no rest in his spirit. Paul was not independent of the tree of life. He lived in a life of dependence on life. And it didn't matter if it was something as good as preaching the gospel. He was clinging to the tree of life. Eating the tree of life, dependent on the Lord, the living Lord, to be His roadmap. Life is not gift. We may be stirred up to care for gifts. The Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians 1:7, Paul said, you don't lack in any gift. Yet in chapter 3, he says, you're infants. I just keep trying to feed you and give you more, but you just can take milk, not solid food. Again, there's not the growth in life. Right? Caring too much for gifts. We just want to care for life. Maybe our focus is on power. If we were powerful. Well, you know what power is. Actually, if you read Luke 24:47, power is something that clothed the apostles from on high. Clothing like a garment. Right? The Lord said, wait in Jerusalem until I send the Spirit of power to clothe you. Well, I tell you, if I'm a policeman and I have on my uniform and I go out, when I take off my uniform, do I lose my life? I lose the power. And the mic. But I don't lose life. Life is the crucial point. It's not power. Actually, if you have life, you have all power. So we don't want to be distracted to other things. So life is Christ as life to man in the form of food. And the last thing I just want to share is, what is building? You know what building is? Building is the increase of life. Building is actually the enlargement, the expansion of life. I don't know what our concept of building is, but you know, building, when you build something, you're taking materials that are there already, and you're producing something. This is exactly what Genesis 1 and 2 is all about. Life is there. Life is presented. And then there's materials. And out of the issue, out of the enjoyment of man taking life, actually there's the building. The building issues out of life. It's the enlargement of life. The rib taken out of Adam. I don't want to dwell too much on this, but just this last thing. The rib taken out of Adam was built into an enlargement of, this was Eve, which was the counterpart, the enlargement of Adam. In the same way, God is dispensing His life into us. God in Himself, how does He get enlarged? But in us He's enlarged. Look at how many more. How much more Christ is there on the earth today, in each one of us. This is the enlargement. This is the flowing out of life, producing something, producing the building. This is life and building in Genesis.
How about we all stand up and let's just turn to the front cover and let's read the title of this whole conference together. We can stand up and just get a little bit of circulation going, a flow.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother. Here.
The beginning and the end, a bird's eye view of life and building in the Holy Bible.
Wow. Very good. Amen. The beginning and the end, a bird's eye view of life in building in the Holy Bible. Before you came to this conference this today and for this weekend, if I were to ask you, what do you think the Bible tells us about? Or what is in the Bible? What's the central thought? What is the basic revelation in the Bible? And we can just do a little show of hands. How many would honestly say life and building is the center and meaning of the Bible? How many of us would have actually said that? Wow. Oh, there's one, two, three, four people. Well, anyway, praise the Lord for the Bible. This weekend, we are really going to enjoy, as Brother Charles said, the bookends of the Bible. I appreciate that's a really good help. If you want to know what it's all about, read the beginning and read the end. So maybe someone will remind you at the end of the fellowship, the speaking, but tonight we'd like you, when you go back to your hospitality, and there's some reading excerpts, but besides the reading excerpts, open your Bible to Genesis 1 and 2 and read Genesis 1 and 2. I hope that in every home that you go to, there's a Bible that you can open and read those two chapters. And then, tomorrow morning, when you're getting up and you're enjoying your breakfast, take a little time to read Revelation 21 and 22. Okay? Because that's what we have for this weekend. That's what we're going to be reading about. That's what we're going to be fellowshipping about. That's what we're going to be talking about. Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22, which show us the central matter and the basic revelation in the Bible is life and building. All right? So that's a little bit of homework. So maybe one other thing I'm continuing. Charles has painted a wonderful picture. I'm going to maybe just try and paint in a few bits and pieces. Having asked that question, four people put up their hands. You know, we bring a lot of our own concepts to the Bible, right? For instance, Joshua 24:15 says, "As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." Right? That's a great verse, right? How many have read that verse, seen it on a wall, appreciate it? Maybe it's in your home. "As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." Because our concept is, God is great, God is holy, God is majestic, I am low, I am mean, He has saved me, so I need to serve Him. Well, that verse appears once in the whole Bible. Right? That utterance. Joshua 24:15, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That is written once in the whole Bible. Now, there's another verse in Deuteronomy 12 which says, "You shall eat." You shall eat. And in the Old Testament alone, it's recorded 33 times. You shall eat. You shall eat. You shall eat. When you're reading through Genesis chapter 2, see how many times the word eat comes up. But because eating God, eating the Lord Jesus, eating the tree of life is not according to our concept, we miss it. We read it, but we miss it. But tonight and over the weekend, we want to paint a picture. A picture of a tree in a garden. And by that tree is a flowing river. And associated with that flowing river are wonderful precious materials. Gold, delium, which is a pearl-like substance. Onyx stone, which is a precious stone. And then when you get to the other end of the Bible, what do you see? You see a tree. You see a river flowing. You see gold, silver, precious stones. And what the Lord is trying to paint a picture for us is, I want you to enjoy me. I want you to eat of me, eat me. I want you to partake of me. And so I'm showing you a picture. I have young kids, an 8-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 1-year-old. Well, the 1-year-old is the youngest. And right now, what she actually does, she just eats books. She doesn't read them. She doesn't look at the pictures. She just eats. But that's a very good picture, actually. She's just so simple. She just chews on the book. She misses the pictures. Well, this weekend, I think we want you to see the picture, but we would also like you to eat. Eat the Word of God. Open your being to this Word. So it's very important that we read these chapters and we open our being to this wonderful picture, because this is actually our eternal destiny. We are destined to enjoy God, to drink God, to eat God, to breathe God, all very organic terms, right? For eternity. Praise the Lord. So we need to drop our concepts and turn and open to what is revealed in the Word of God. Amen. And we will see that through our eating, we take in life. Right? We take in the tree of life. Associated with the eating of the tree is the river of water of life. And what is in this tree, what is in the flowing river, is constituted into our being. And it will change us. The word in the Bible is transform us from clay to precious stones. And what are stones used for? They're used for building. And then when we are transformed and we are built, we eventually, through our eating and eating and eating and drinking, we are changed, transformed, till we match our Savior. What you eat, you become. Right? What you take in becomes your constitution. So we'll talk about that a little bit as well. But eventually, this is the picture. You eat and you drink and you're changed. Your nature is changed. Your constitution has changed. Your appearance has changed. And eventually, you know what you look like? You look like Eve. You look like the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God as a bride prepared for her husband. Amen. You are now qualified to be joined in loving matrimony with your God and your Savior because you match Him. And this union is God's building. This is what God wants. So I'm borrowing some of the points that Charles, but let's just read Romans 1 again. Okay? Genesis 1 and
2, Revelation 21 and 22, the beginning and the end of the Bible,
the building of a corporate person. Amen. The building of a corporate person. That's the New Jerusalem. Okay, so that when you read New Jerusalem at the end, just take your word for it. We'll develop it over the weekend. But the building of a corporate person. Just maybe one other important point. When you're reading this, we need to understand that the New Jerusalem is not a physical city. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, it says that the Lord showed this to a slave John through signs. So the New Jerusalem is a sign. We're not going to walk on a golden street. We are becoming this picture. We're becoming in union with God by eating, by drinking, by enjoying, by being constituted. We are becoming this city. So if you want to know what you're going to look like 1,000 years from now, 21 and 22 of the book of Revelation will give you at least a picture. We may not understand it, but we need to open to the Lord. Right? We are praying this weekend, Lord, grant me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, I don't want to just know these things. I want to see the vision. If I have a vision, then I will be controlled. I will be guided. I will be drawn by this vision. And we'll see, it's very, very practical. We'll get into some very good practical points. Okay, so let's go on. Could we read D together? That's under Romans 2. Okay, Romans 2. Yes, man's outcome. Wow. Okay, man's outcome and destiny before God depends on what he eats. Appreciated what Charles said. Let's kind of expand the definition of eating. Eating is what we take into our being for satisfaction. Right? It's not just In-N-Out hamburger tonight. Eating is what you take into your being for satisfaction. You might eat music. You might eat March Madness. You might eat internet news sites or other kind of sites. But that's your satisfaction. That's what you eat. You take in for satisfaction. So then what are you constituted with? You are constituted with basketball, music, fashion, sports, entertainment, latest movies, newest cool t-shirts, I don't know, etc., etc. So this is very important. Man's outcome and destiny depends altogether on what he eats. So if we want to arrive at our destination of the holy city, then our diet needs to be a certain kind of diet. So it's important what we eat. Let me also impress you, it's also important when what you don't eat. As an example, I've worked in the third world, you know, a lot of malnourished children. And they don't get vital components in their diet. They may not get protein, so their tummies are swollen. Their legs are swollen. Their tummies are swollen because they've got fluid, because they don't have enough protein. What I don't take in affects me also. Another critical matter is vitamin A. Vitamin A is needed for sight. The first sign of vitamin A deficiency is night blindness. You don't take in enough vitamin A, you're blind in the dark. You can't see. But how many of us are lacking vitamin A? Right? We go to dark places, but we're just blind. We have no clue. We have no sense. We're blind to the darkness. Not enough biblical vitamin A. So it's not just we need to eat, but our not eating also affects us very, very much. So our outcome and destiny depends on what we eat. Okay, so John 6:57 there says, he who eats me, the Lord says in part, he who eats me shall live because of me. Right? Not he who studies me, not he who knows me. So I'm going to use an illustration. It's not a very good illustration, but how about we take up Jake and Daniel. Come on up here. Okay, well, Jake, come on. We'll put you in the center here. Give me the bottles there just for a minute. Amen. Now, this is a poor illustration, but anyway, Jake, up. Jake is going to be a tree for us for a minute or two here. I think more like this. Excellent. There we go. There we go. Okay, no. We need you, Daniel. No. Me and Daniel are down here. So the picture, it's not a great picture, but anyway. So there is Jake, the tree of life. Praise the Lord. Now, it's supposed to be fruit, but I don't have any fruit, so I'm using water bottles. But water's good for you. It makes you clear. It cleans you out. But what if Daniel and I, we just look at it. We just kind of analyze it. Daniel, did you read that? Have you read about that? You know, check, yeah, leaves, branches, rooted, yeah. Yeah, I think that might be Jesus, right? What do you think? Yeah, very. Yeah, good. Yeah, I know. We know about that, right? You and I, we know. We read about it. We know all about it. Tree of life, yeah. What do you think of the tree of life?
I think it's pretty.
It's pretty. That's kind of attractive. So, you know, even at best, we may know a lot in the Bible. Oh, I read that. Oh, I know about the tree of life. But what God wants us to do, right? He wants us to partake, right? So how about you go there and I might go here, brother. Look at this. Should we have a drink? Let's take a drink. Amen. Good, huh? Wonderful. Amen. Brother, Jesus, we love you. Actually, come closer. Yeah. So while we're praising, we're drinking, right? Amen. Okay, thank you. All right, amen. Okay. Okay, not a great illustration, but this is what the Lord is talking about. Not knowledge. Not information. I know about Jesus. You should believe in Jesus. We need to come to Him. He who eats me, right? He shall live because of me. Right? The water. But if we never drink the water, we may have tons of knowledge in our being. But we don't come to the Lord. There was a famous preacher, James McKendrick. He was a miner in a mining town in Scotland. His father was killed in a mining accident. Now, the day that his father was killed, in fact, of course, he was killed, he was brought home. Well, James McKendrick went out for a walk, and he's just walking along, and he comes to this gate in a field, and he just stands there, and he's thinking, you know, I know a lot. He had been a Christian, raised up as a young boy, but had gone away from the Lord, I guess, tough mining community, far away from God. And then his father passed away, and he really considered, you know, I know a lot about Jesus Christ. I've been to Sunday school. I know all those things. But where is the Savior in my life? Where is He? Is He in my heart? Is He in my being? Do I know Him? Do I own Him? Am I leaning on Him? Because my father's just gone. So that was the day that he really got saved. He came to the tree of life. There's a verse in John chapter 5, or two verses, where the Lord rebukes the religious Pharisees. He says, "You search the scriptures, and it is these that testify concerning me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." Well, this weekend, we are doing our best to paint a picture, a mind's eye picture, a spirit's eye picture. There is a tree. There is a tree. There is a river. And the Lord wants us not to know about the tree, analyze the tree, define the tree. He wants you to eat. He wants you to drink. And when you eat, you are brought to a flow. When you drink, precious materials get into you. When you drink more and eat more, you are reconstituted. You become a different person. I appreciate what Charles said. Your taste changes. If we're religious, if we're moral, if we're ethical, that doesn't cut it, right? You are on the internet. You know you shouldn't be there. "Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I promise not to do it again." But nothing changes. Year after year after year, nothing changes. Why does nothing change? Well, we'll see. Time's running out, but we'll see there are reasons why nothing changes. Mainly because we're not eating. We're not drinking. We're not partaking. We're not enjoying. We don't have a vision that captures us. I need to eat. I need to get into the Word. We'll see, I'll hear a lot about this weekend. But the Word, we want the living Christ, as Charles said, but you can't have the living Christ apart from the written Word. They go together. So we need to treasure the Word, love the Word, and we need to eat the Word, because that's what will feed us. Okay, let's go on to E. In the millennial kingdom, the overcoming believers will enjoy Christ as the tree of life as their reward. Okay, we talked in the previous point about outcome and destiny. And then in the next point, there's this term, in the millennial kingdom. Just as an honest, how many in this room do not know really what the millennial kingdom is? Just hands up. Okay. There's a good number, I guess. Well, in a simple way, in Revelation 20, there is a period immediately after this age of 1,000 years. And in Revelation 20, verses 2 through 7, the word 1,000 years is mentioned 6 times. 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a millennium. The millennial kingdom is a dispensational period where God will reward those who have enjoyed Him very much in this age with the blessing of enjoying Him to the uttermost as the New Jerusalem with the tree of life and the river of water of life. So there's a principle here. What we enjoy today will be our reward in the next age. So if you want to be part, when you read 21 and 22 tomorrow morning, if this captures you, if you see this and you go, "Wow, I want to be that city." Well, the way to be that city is really, really simple. It's not complicated. You just need to eat and drink a lot of Jesus. Right? Another illustration related to eating. I appreciated Charles's points on eating. He said, it's pleasurable. Amen. So this shows us that God wants to be our enjoyment. It takes time. It takes time. So we need to eat in a careful way. Well, not only does it take time then, but it takes a long time of eating. As I said, I have a 1-year-old, I have a 6-year-old, and I have a 7-year-old. Well, 6 years, and Aiden is this high. He's been eating for 6 years, and he's this high. And I hope someday he'll be this high. But how is he going to get there from here to here? He's already been eating for 6 years. You might say, oh, I've been reading the Bible for 6 years. Well, then you're about this high. So we need to, see, it's not just eating, take a half an hour in the morning. How about, okay, you have half an hour in the morning today, and then for 3 weeks, you don't eat. Oh, I took my time. Charles said you should take your time, so I took my time. 3 weeks ago. You need to eat every day. 3 times a day. Can you imagine going through your students, most of you in school, a whole day on campus, no food, not one thing to eat, physically I'm speaking. Right? Josh, pretty hard, huh? Josh, yeah, pretty hard. So that's the physical picture. How about the spiritual picture? Eating. So we need to, you know, in our spirit realize, Lord, as Charles said, in my spirit is a tree of life. So every time I turn to you in my spirit, every time I open the Word of God, I can drink, I can eat. Something gets into me. I'm nourished, I'm sustained to walk the Christian life. Okay. So what we are is what we enjoy is what we will be our reward. What we enjoy today is what we will become tomorrow. Okay, let's go on and read Romans 3. We're running out of time. In the New Jerusalem. Amen. So, again, like Charles said, you want to know what happens at the end? Read the last two chapters. What is in the last two chapters? Man's eternal destiny. It's either one of two things. It's one or the other. It is either the city of water, of life, of light, the New Jerusalem, or it is the lake of fire. There is no other options. Right? And we'll touch that briefly in a minute. Let's go to A. The one tree of life growing on the two sides of the river signifies that the tree of life is a vine spreading and proceeding along the flow of water of life for God's people to receive and enjoy. Okay? John 15:1 says, I am the vine. I am the vine. Elsewhere he says, I am the life. So, vine, tree of life, tree of life, that is the Lord Jesus. Okay, B. The believers in Christ have access to the tree of life. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll read the verse to save time. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter by the gates into the city. So how about we just sing that? Those of you who know it, no instruments, we'll just go. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life. And they enter, and they enter, and they enter by the gates.
And they enter, and they
better not sing.
Enter, and they enter by the gates.
That might be a good little song to learn this weekend. Amen. Okay, well, we'll read the points under it, then I'll have a quick development, and then we'll finish. Okay, let's read 1, 2, and 3. Brothers on 1, sisters on 2, and everybody on 3. Amen. Brothers. Okay, sisters, 2. Praise the Lord. Okay, 3 together. Amen, amen. So there's a wonderful picture. You can read about it in Revelation 20, 21 and 22 tomorrow morning. there is this city. Jasper walls, golden foundations, pearl gates. At the top, at the very height, is a throne. Out from the throne proceeds the river of water of life. And on this side and on that side of the river grows a tree. And then this river spirals down, 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 and then goes out through the gates of the city. Three pearl gates on four sides of the city. It's a picture. It's a sign. But it is full of meaning. And we don't have time tonight to develop it. However, just as a kind of it says here, blessed are those who wash their robes. So when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood cleanses us from every sin. And we have the right, because of His death and resurrection, to enjoy Him again as the tree of life.
Amen.
And as we've said, as we enjoy, as we eat and we drink, not only are we brought into this city, we become this city. I just would have a short burden here. This is wonderful. And we are so privileged to be here tonight to hear this word. But like Charles said, spoke to that woman in the post office, how many of our friends, how many of our relatives, how many of our classmates don't know, have never heard, have no idea? Well, their eternal destiny, if it's not in this city, is the lake of fire. Eternal perdition, eternal loss, eternal damnation is one of the words we use. We need to be ones who are not just enjoying ourselves, but enjoying to the point where we just flow out this wonderful one into the hearts of others, that they too could be brought into the city. The pearl gates, it's beautiful. The pearl gates on one hand separate signify Christ. On the other hand, they signify the believers as an entrance into the city. They're pearl. They're attractive. The more that you enjoy the Lord as the tree of life, the more that you drink Him as the river of water of life, you become the city. You become a pearl gate on four sides. That means the gates are open to the whole earth. God desires that all men may be saved. There's not one little, tiny little gate in one part of the wall. There are three huge gates on the four sides of the city. And what's flowing out of the gates? The river of water of life. So what a picture. I can become, as I eat, as I drink, as I enjoy, I become a pearl gate. And there's living water flowing out of me, and that's attractive. I don't even have to say so much. I don't have to talk about, the Bible says, and you're a sinner, and you need to be forgiven, and the blood of Jesus. You just flow living water, and people are attracted. Permit me one quick illustration. A brother here, we have a college meeting in Long Beach on Thursday nights. Well, this brother one Thursday night came to the college meeting. And we do a lot of singing, a lot of eating and drinking at the college meeting. Well, this brother went home after the college meeting, went to his dorm, and he was just shining. He'd just eaten and drank living water. He's shining. He goes to his lab, and his Indian colleague is there. And he's just... right? He's just happy. He's just shining. He's just flowing. And spontaneously, just this conversation, where were you this evening? What were you doing? I was enjoying Jesus. And this person is a practicing Hindu. But eventually it came to, you're shining because you eat Jesus. And the request thing is, well, would you like to receive Jesus too? And the answer was, yes, I would. So he just, there was no gospel message. There was no, here, now you need to read this mystery of human life. You're a real sinner. You have to confess your sin. It was just, eat Jesus. He's free. He's available. You just need to enjoy Him. Well, praise the Lord for Brother Pankaj, right? Amen. So it's that simple. We, as we eat and drink, we become this marvelous city. Okay, so let's, do we have to read C? Okay, C. Let's read C. The enjoyment
of the tree of life will be the eternal portion of
Amen. The tree of life fulfills, the enjoyment of the tree of life fulfills for eternity what God intended for us, for man, from the beginning. What a wonderful gospel message. God wants to be food to man. God wants to be drink to man. God wants to be pleasure. Eden means pleasure. The Garden of Eden is the garden of pleasure. And then in the New Jerusalem, it's also called the Eden of God. This is good news. And there's a way for all people to come into this city. Amen. And then my last, just simple. Well, we heard a lot about eating tonight. Eating, eating, eating. How do I eat? How do I eat? Well, we eat by calling on the name of the Lord. The brothers who led the singing had us call on the Lord. It's really easy. You can just, oh, Lord Jesus. Doesn't have to be loud. I walk to campus many days. I eat a lot on the way up to campus. Lord, oh Lord. I'm in class. I want to preach the gospel, but I need to eat first. Oh, Lord Jesus. We eat by calling. We eat by prayerfully reading the Word. We open our Bible. We don't just, instant messenger, instant messenger. That's not eating. That's not eating. Oh, text, email. Eating is, Lord, blessed are those. Oh, blessed are those. Thank you, Lord, I'm so blessed. Blessed are those who wash their robes. Lord, thank you for your cleansing blood. So we eat by pray reading. I'm prayerfully reading the Bible. One other, singing. Singing is a great way to eat. Blessed are those. Even if you sing really badly like me, you can still eat. Right? Eating, singing, praying, praying for our friends, praying to the Lord, opening our being. When we open, we take something in. We're coming to Him. His word is, come to me. Come to me. Lord, I sing, I come to you. Lord, I read, I come to you. Lord, I call, I come to you. And then the last thing, and I'll stop. The last thing, you know what's very important? Obeying. Obedience. How do I eat? I eat by obeying. Speak to that person. Okay, Lord. Amen, Lord. Very good illustration. Husband and wife, they have an argument. They have a disagreement. The husband goes off. This is me. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I lost my temper. I said this. I said that. And the Lord says, okay, I forgive you. Now, go and ask your wife for forgiveness. No. Well, the eating just stopped. Right? You offended your roommate. Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry. Okay, you're forgiven. Now go and apologize. No. Right? Or whatever. The voice, the little voice inside. Stop. Don't click there. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't listen to that. There's so many opportunities. All of us, how many of us have heard the little voice? The small voice. Okay, if you want to eat, you just say, amen, Lord. Amen, Lord. Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. I can eat you right now. Okay, so there's some examples. Singing, Bible reading, calling, praying, and obeying. Okay, so let's stand up and read the focus together and we'll stop. Amen. The beginning and the end of the Bible are consistent in revealing that the tree through the redeeming blood of Christ, we all have the right to take Christ as a tree of life, living a life of dependence on God now and for eternity. Amen. Okay, so if the brothers are making the announcements, could come up. So tonight, brothers and sisters, read Genesis 1 and 2. Tonight, eat. Eat something nice. Just don't eat the snack in your hospitality. Okay? Eat more of Jesus. Okay? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay.